Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood, here with my partner in crime, Steve Fatula. We're with McCoy Fatula and back to talk about what? Coming back to work after a vacation and any other topics that come to mind this morning. It's our first time back since Steve's been away.
Yeah. It's come back into a hailstorm of cases, so we're ready for a little bit of enjoyment now.
Don't you find that when you go on vacation, it takes you a few days to realize you're on vacation, and then you have your vacation, and then before you come back, you're kind of thinking about a few days before you leave how it's going to work out and what you're going to do.
Yeah, the anxiety kicks in about 2-3 days prior.
100%. So yeah. You get a small window. Even if you take 7 days off, you get like a 4 or 5 day window.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, sometimes it's worse than if you never left with the workload, stress,
life. I think it's always worse.
So sometimes the vacation is not worth the vacation.
No, I think the vacations are great for people that can turn things off. Yeah. You have the ability to ignore an email and that's okay. You're great. That sounds awesome. But our world doesn't work like that.
No.
It doesn't work like that. So we have these scenarios in which we have to kind of half vacation at all times.
Unless you're going out of the country to save a family member or something like that. You know, then you can turn that off.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. You were gone for 3 weeks?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
And you worked every morning?
No, not every morning, but yeah, probably. Even if it was a couple things, it was probably everything but 1 or 2 days. We were driving. I mean, it's hard to explain to people, especially like we're in California. Everywhere you're in California has Wi-Fi, right? It's usually pretty good.
Tell me about that because that was weird.
It's usually like pretty good wherever you go. And that's not everywhere. And for whatever reason, the spots that each of our family live in are the worst dead spots and have been for 20 plus years. Like we never had good reception at these places. It still hasn't changed. And when I explain that to people, they're like, well, you can just jump on a call. I'm like, I can kind of jump on a call, maybe, and sometimes. And even when we were at the one doing the Zoom mediation, I'm in a hotel lobby and losing reception. This is not a rinky-dink hotel.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
And after 40 minutes, it was just like, you're done. And took like 10 minutes to get me back on a signal to get in there. And
I'm sitting there going, I was going to say, that was rough. We were all sitting there kind of staring at each other, twiddling our thumbs. And just, it boggles the brain because we are here.
Yeah.
That there are places.
And my hotspot, like nothing.
And you're not in a third world country.
No, we're just
in different. You're just on the East Coast.
Just in different spots that are deep enough away that it isn't great. And it's like where my wife's parents are away from everything, which is wonderful for 90% of the things. But then, you know, you don't have great internet.
No. And so they don't living there. Are they?
Never have had. Like they're I remember when they had like Netflix. That was huge. Huge. It was a huge thing. And it was not the smoothest Netflix. You couldn't sign on to anything. You couldn't Wi-Fi on to anything.
What is it when it freezes and it's initiating and that just drives you crazy? Oh, yeah,
that would happen all the time. And if I had to check an email on how to use like their computer, it would take so long that you just never checked emails. And this is years ago, so we didn't need it. But like, that's not a thing. And where we're at, I can either work at the kitchen table, which has decent reception most times. But the kids are still, they're on vacation. So like they're screaming, yelling, and you just kind of whatever, or you can go all the way upstairs where I'm quiet, but I don't get any reception.
Oh,
and it's the difference of like, what do you need? Do you need all the reception or just maybe some to have a phone call? And if I do a phone call outside, I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes because like, it's wet. It was wet the whole time. And I think that we were in the car. I don't know. Probably if we were gone 20 days, we were probably in the car 14 days.
That would make me crazy.
I mean, it literally was you get in, drive from the airport to house one and stay one night.
And this is family. There's three different families that you're visiting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we're with my parents for a night there. Then we drive a couple hours and we're in Maryland for a couple days. Then we drive a couple hours and we're in Delaware for a couple days. Then we drive a couple hours and we're back in Maryland for a couple days. And everything you're doing is you're trying to like saturate the kids' events because this is the only time they have to do this. And this
with
is
their
like
extended family.
Correct. So this is like their big summer to hit every touristy thing. So like every
what
day.
What did you see? I mean,
was man, it? So like we from like we went to all the main beaches that we go to. So Ocean City and Rehoboth and things we have done for many years. So it's my wife's upbringing, my upbringing. The kids love going there, which is great. The best day we had was on the beach. We went. So if, for those that don't know here at the office, we tend to do like health challenges throughout the year.
Correct.
And one is so many steps in a given day. So I was getting up and this was great. I was getting up at like 6 and before anyone else getting up, walk for an hour. And that was great. It was just actually something I really enjoyed doing.
I was going to say it probably was good for you mentally, to have your own. You don't have your own space.
No, this was great no matter which day, because everywhere we're going, even Rehoboth, which is a big beach, isn't big. Nothing's big. Like when people are busy and complaining about traffic, you're laughing because you're like, there's 2 lanes, guys. We're used to like 5 lanes. Like it's just different. Things are just different. You kind of forget the different pace of things.
I was
going to
say it's
speed.
A little slower pace.
It's a lot slower pace. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot slower pace. We just disappear. We're like,
rabbit.
Let's go. Let's move this thing
and
forward.
You're not used to moving at a slow pace. So
no,
it
drives
be very
me nuts.
Weird for you.
It drives me nuts because I'm just like, I can do what we're doing right now. I'll pay us. Let's move forward and wrap this up. And they're just like, oh no, take your time. I'm like, we're done. We're eating with the kids. We have 45 seconds. Eat and we got to move on to whatever the next thing is. But
patience. See, patience, extreme example.
That's it. And I was walking up and down the boardwalk at like 7. There's no one there.
The sun coming up.
So beautiful. Dolphins jumping in the water. Just amazing, right? Just such a good time. So I was like, let's just go to the board. And we never go to the beach because my parents are close enough that like usually they'll take a boat and like we've always been raised on like boats and water and stuff. So they'll go to like water based beaches where you don't have people. You just kind of go and
you just get in the boat and then go. I didn't know that about you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's fun, but you miss like the beach. Like it's neat to just be on the beach and the kids just want to go in the ocean. They just want to. And it's different ocean. Like it's out here. The ocean's freezing there. It's not as cold. It's cold.
I was going to say, what's not as cold?
But like, you know,
the ocean is freezing
in
here.
In 5 minutes, you're acclimated to the water there. And at some point, it can be warm. Here, it's never warm. Here,
you
just like.
You get purple lips and you're like, just shivering and.
It's just nuts. So like, I was like, let's just go back to the boardwalk. We'll go at 8 o'clock. There's no one there. And we did. We went from 8 to 11 and the kids had a phenomenal time. Swam, everything they wanted, dig holes, which was like half the fun. Apparently, I guess I missed that part. Build sandcastles, found shells, all that stuff. And by 11, they're bored. And when we got on the beach, there was no one on it. By 11, it was shoulder to shoulder all the way down. I didn't even know. I'd never looked back. So when I turned around, all I said was like, holy shit.
A sea of people.
It was nuts. And people were like kind of starting to crowd each other. So for us, it was perfect. We were a block away from the beach and like the beaches out here require a lot more walking around like, you know, rocks and things to get to like the water base. These are boardwalks right onto water and the beach is a minute walk, right? So it's not crazy to walk from the boardwalk to the water and be wherever you want to be. And we were parked within a block. So like we carried all the kids' crap, put it all in the car, and then they wanted to just play games. So then we could do the boardwalk part. Without any, like, there was not a single person we had to deal with for the day that we did that stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
Every other day had a cluster of events, but like that was great. So we were able to do that. That was definitely one of our highlights. And our family is very competitive and we find things that we want to play as a family. And then we do those until we have won whatever the prize is. And then we're all kind of celebrating and bored at the same time. Then we go on to the next thing. And it's very funny because it's so the entire house.
You like and Erica get bored very easy. You have to have constant stimulation.
Yeah, that's real.
And are the kids that way too?
Mm.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And it's like, you can only do so much cause they're all going in different directions.
Right.
So you have
it's
to like
herding cats.
And we spent a lot at the arcade, but they were having fun, like just not caring about things, which was just, that was a
and entertained.
Lot of fun. Entertained. And it's hot. Like, I mean, it's here you wake up and it's 65 out and it's a nice cool morning almost every day.
Right.
And it heats up certainly, but it's
the mornings and the evenings are the best.
Yeah. There it's a steady, like you start at 75, 80 and wet and it'll go to like 95 and wet. And then it'll go back down to like 85 by the time you go to bed and wet.
I couldn't do that.
And they're like, oh, this is a heat wave. I'm like, yeah, I know. And last 4 years, phenomenal weather. This was the worst weather. If we needed rain, it was 1,000 degrees. If we needed just warmth, it was freezing cold. Father's Day, we had rented a water slide. which is something we had done about 10 years ago. And it was just so much fun. I was like, the kids will love it. And it's, I wanted to do it.
So is that like a bouncy castle with a slide in it?
It's like a 24 foot inflatable slide.
It was, and where do you slide to?
Just like a pool of water that's been everyone's feet in for all day. It's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. But we had we set that up, and that was the day it was 60 degrees. And the day was going to get to like a high of 72. And I'm just like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Those days
were they sliding in their sweatsuits?
No, they didn't.
Kids don't care. No.
And I made sure that I did it a bunch. But I kept like flying out the back because it's not. It's not for adults, apparently. And I would be whipping through and just fly out the pool like it was nothing and land in the mud. And it was so much fun.
I was going to say that sounds kind of awesome.
It was awesome. We were drinking a good amount. So we had
Well, that kept you warm.
Yeah. And the kid, I mean, one of our kids was in the slide until like 9. And we were like, you have to get out. It's black outside. Get in the house.
I kind of feel crying. Like I know which one it was.
It was nuts because, and then we have it for one day. They didn't pick it up for like 3 days because like that's how things work there. Hey, you going to get this tomorrow? Maybe. Are you coming to pick this thing up tomorrow? Or like.
And you kind of had to prep it for them. It's not like you could be on it those 3 days.
Right. And he's like, it might be Monday. I'm like, okay. He's like, could be Tuesday. I'm like, so then the kids hear that. So each day, like, are we going to inflate it again? I'm like, no, because they could be coming. And slash, like, I don't feel like doing it. Like one day it's fun. It was there for like 3 days. They could have had the time of their lives, but there's other things we had to do. And we did those things. We took them a lot of touristy things. We took them a lot of educational things. So we went through some wildlife places where they could see. We saw a lot of bald eagles, which was really neat.
That's very cool.
And where she is from is a lot of has to do with Harriet Tubman. And they had just put it's got to be a multi-million dollar museum, like not interactive, but like interactive museum. It was beautiful. And we learned a lot about like stuff you learn at school, but like things that, you know, you learn that when you're in elementary school and you forget kind of how important she was.
Right. It's different when you take it in as an adult.
Yeah. And the kids were crying because like it's all real. They can read now. So like the stuff's a lot more real. So they're asking questions and it was kind of an interesting, and I wouldn't say fun because it's not a fun topic, but like it's
important.
It's an important topic and it really kind of forces you to think. And even in like today's world where people are being kind of
terrible.
They're being terrible. And targeted. What she did is still so significant now, just kind of to different people.
Right.
So it was interesting to kind of walk through that and see that and them to appreciate. And then they kept bringing her up throughout the whole trip, which was great. Like it just
it really sunk in. It made an impact.
It made an impact. And there's probably in that town, there's probably like 15 murals of her. So like it's everywhere they would see, they could recognize who she was. And I was like, that's pretty important. And like, it's pretty cool that that's something you got out of this trip. And then, I mean, you probably don't go back to this thing every year because, you know, it's like a museum. You've seen it in a couple of years later, maybe, but that'll be one that sticks. And they all bought, you know, books and things that keep learning about more and more of this history because it is history that kind of gets pushed down minus the glossary, you know, like the nice shiny couple points.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
That was really cool.
Because in this world, I was, like we said, people are just agitated. They're angry. They're not kind. We all have stuff going on in our life that we're taking out. I mean, you can't, if the light turns green and you're there for like 2 seconds to check the intersection, you're getting honked at.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. But I was watching, you said beaches. I was watching something on the news and people are going blind on beaches because people are opening their umbrellas without enough space for people, or their umbrellas are not pinned down or weighted down and they're flying off and taking out people's eyeballs. So it's a very good thing that you were not in that sea of people because you could have, you know, risked bodily injury from an umbrella, which is just crazy to me.
That is crazy. No, we were ahead. The only injury we got at the beach was like a stub toe. I hit like a 4 pound like conch, you know, those giant shells.
Yes.
And I was like, the hell's this? So I dug down and pulled it out. It was giant.
Keep it?
No. It had.
Did you blow in it and make music?
No, because the animal was there.
But it was still being occupied.
Got
that.
Yeah. Okay. He was still living in his home. Everyone got to take pictures. Then we threw it back in.
Oh.
And they're like.
But it was a conch. That's the animal's name. Conch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was this beautiful pointy shells that hurt like hell when you step on them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I forgot, you know, I mean, that was every like weekend was beach and all that stuff. So like you kind of go back to being a kid and then there's, you know, you've been injured in the ocean before.
Yeah.
Kids are getting nailed by the waves, which is funny.
It's funny.
They don't know what to do. But like, you remember going like, I've been hit a lot worse with waves. And yeah. It's like, you just get up. She's like, oh, it knocked me down. I'm like, yeah, it did. Waves are strong. Pay attention. Dive under them. And it's like, it's just things that they didn't do on a regular basis. And it's kind of fun to watch them see these things and have to learn how to do things. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's important. Figure out how waves work.
And, yeah.
Because out here, you just die from riptides.
And it does kind of sickly give you joy. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I get it. When we were in Hawaii and we walked the beach, there's nothing more peaceful. And especially if you can do it on your own, because I, like you, I don't get a lot of time just to think my own thoughts or, you know, it's from the morning when I wake up, there's
something,
calls and people. And so I try and get up like half an hour to 45 minutes earlier just to have alone time. But walking the beach, and I didn't see a conch, but we saw that giant turtle.
Yeah.
And I, you know, just sitting there, I wanted to get, you know, kind of on top of him and get a picture, but I knew the locals would be very mad at me.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more freeing than feeling like a kid or just being out there, water, whatever it is. There's something amazing about it.
It's tough how much we give up as adults.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a weird thing that everything is about work and everything is about money. And even when you don't want it to be, it is, because you need to survive and pay for things.
And
even though you don't need to have the crap that we spend our money on. Like, that's
100%.
That's,
but
the
we
reality.
Give up playing, and we our eyes, the lens is different. Everything is serious.
Yeah.
And just to hear your kids giggle.
I mean, that's
like, to me, the greatest sound in the world. But everything we do, and I found myself recently being more serious than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I think we have the choice to let, because life is going to life. And it has been one thing after another. I was telling you this morning, I feel like a boxer.
Yeah.
You know, in a really heavy fight. But we can choose the lens that we look through. I found myself getting snippy and stressed out and serious. And I thought, I just don't want to be that way.
No, I agree with you. I think it's one of those things is you could always be pissed or not.
Yeah. Pressure is going to be there.
It's all, I mean, the world sucks still and people suck, but like, they don't all suck and the world doesn't always all suck. It just, it hits. And I think it's, I see at least negative more than positive. Like, that's what I always am looking for, to fix that stuff.
I think that's your attorney brain.
I think so too. But like, if you, when you don't need that, the world's not bad. Like, it's just like, people are people and everyone's trying to survive.
Yeah. You just have to change what you focus on.
It.
But it's really hard to, when you're trained to fix a problem or find a problem or to see a problem.
Yeah.
Then it kind of translates into your life. And you're a father of four.
Yeah.
There's always something you have to fix in your house. I only have I have three dogs, and there's, it's like I have a toddlers. There's and they're dogs. I can't imagine having four children.
Well, let me tell you how the car worked.
Tell me.
Everyone has that coveted seat in the car.
Right? Shotgun.
It's the back seat shotgun. So we need a large vehicle when we go places.
100%.
Because we have six people and then six people's crap. So when we got to
their girls.
I packed it apparently worse than everybody else. So I don't know.
I was going to say, after the packing lesson that we talked about.
Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened, but I had so many clothes. And my wife was like, what did you do? I was like, I don't even know. I mean, Lori, there was like 25 shirts in there. And then at some point we went shopping and came back with clothes. And she goes, where are these fitting? I was like, what? Who bought this clothes?
It was an out-of-body experience when you were packing.
It was the,
because you had just told your daughter didn't need half the crap she was packing.
And I packed more. And next, we all had a family meeting of, next year is half the clothing straight across the board. Because we're just going to buy a sweatshirt. Like, the things you're going to buy anyway.
The novelty crap.
They're too big. Yeah. Just crap. We don't need it. Three out. It's going to end up being, you get one pair of shorts.
That's it.
You're clean. Everywhere we're going has a wash and dryer. Like, everywhere we go, we're cleaning the same clothes. Everywhere we're the same thing.
If you can't take it in a backpack, you ain't bringing it.
And it's just like, all right, we're going to fix this next year.
Now, that's hysterical.
That was pretty good. So we get to the car dealership or the car place, whatever it is. And, of course, you know, it's always chaos. And, like, Philadelphia chaos is different because nobody gives a shit what they're doing.
I was going to say, is Philly kind of like a New York? It's just kind of gruff.
It's gruff, but like, the workers don't care. Like the stories of Philadelphia are all true, where it's like, the mentality is just kind of like, you're in their way no matter what's going on. And that happens when it's a service or like if you're Santa Claus. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So you get there and we're in line behind two people for like 20 minutes. And like this is all day flying. So like the kids, everyone's done. They're all outside because they can't be in there.
I'm picturing the sloth on Zootopia at the counter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pretty much that conversation's happening. There's an Indian family ahead of us that's having some language barrier issues where the woman's not like working with them. They're just kind of getting louder, but no one understands what anybody's saying. So you just see they're going.
So they're just yelling now.
They're just yelling, but in different languages. So you're going, they don't understand what you're saying in English. You don't understand what they're saying. And I don't know what you need in language was. And I was like, but everyone's just staring at each other. And like there's clearly the person that speaks English that can't speak up as loud as everybody else. And I'm just watching this going like, if you both would shut up, the nice little lady next year could probably solve this and we could move on. But no, that took a while.
I'm surprised at your patience.
I'm done at this point. I don't care. And I'm going, just, we need a car. And the guy's like, we can't find your car. I went, of course not. Like, Lori, I don't even get mad anymore. I just go, yeah, that makes sense.
If you know Steve, like, you know just, that's just like par for the course.
It's just, yeah, you expect the dumbest crap to happen when it's not convenient. You're just going to go, all right. So I'm like, so what do you have? And then he's like, we've got a Nissan Armada. And I was like, and I couldn't recall that car. I was like, it seems small. I was like, we pick the biggest car here because we need it.
Right.
And I looked outside, like, you see that pile of people and bags? That needs to fit in there. Will that fit in there? And he goes, not all of it. And I went, well, we should probably keep looking because I don't think that'll work. And he went, okay, good point. Like, we're having a serious conversation on, like, which kid do we kick out and which bag stays here? I'm like, no, guy, go find the car.
Thankfully, all the kids were able to get in the car.
This guy
but
was.
This is something.
This guy was wonderful. So he goes and finds it. It's clearly not been cleaned. Like, it's we just got the car. And
I was going to say, at this point, you don't care. Whatever.
So we get the car. It still has something on the side window. Like, Lori, I don't know if it's the biggest bird in the world that went by. And they went, should we hose this off? And they went, nah, let this family enjoy it the whole time. It was still dirty inside, and we didn't care.
Did you have to roll the window down so you could see past the giant?
It was in the back seat.
Oh, okay.
So I just didn't care. Yeah.
Whatever.
So then we get in the car. Everything is jammed in. Like, if we were in an accident, nothing's moving. It's jammed in there so hard. Like, it's now structural into the back.
What kind of car did you end up getting?
Do you remember? It was Expedition Max, I think.
So those are big cars.
Supposedly.
You had a lot of shit.
I think they keep getting smaller, too.
Steve packed too much.
It only fit. This is funny. It only fit in one way, like Jenga. I actually had to take a picture because I had to redo the car so many times.
So
the
you
first
could
time.
Remember.
Oh, yeah. And I had to use the picture three times because I couldn't remember how it was in there because one suitcase was different. And that's the only one that helped fix everything.
Oh, it my was, God. That's hysterical. But that's my life at home. Everything is Jenga right
it's
now.
It's right. And it's very
frustrating.
I call
it adult Jenga.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, don't like it.
Pretty sure I like slammed and shut the thing. And the guy's like, I don't know if the trunk's shut. I'm like, trunk's shut enough. We're going to keep going.
I don't care if the prior flies people out the back.
Must have got an accident because the trunk was not shutting properly. But that we ignore that, too, because okay. They didn't even check the car. You know, usually like they do the walkthrough.
Yeah. When no we one did went that. On our trip, nobody did it. No. So I was taking pictures. Nobody cared.
It looked like someone took an axe to the bumper. And I was just I'm taking pictures like, and I was like, I'm not paying for your car. I don't care. It's not mine, but I'm not paying for it. And it's fine. So we're all in the car and we go to the exit. Exit's all blocked off. Can't leave. There's no one there. It's all got cones. All those car plays are like multiples, right? There's a couple on one side.
So right. Like, right. There's like 30
so I go
different,
through yeah. all of it to go to the next dealership to leave. This guy freaks the hell out. Starts screaming at us, you can't come here. You can't come here. I'm like, guy, I can't get out. Like, let me out. No, you need to be scanned out. You got all this stuff. I'm like, how do I leave? Like now I'm frustrated. I'm going, I can't leave there because it's all gated off and you're blocking me here. How do I physically leave at this point? He goes, go back there. It's fine. All right.
This is where we're spending our vacation.
We have to go backwards because now it's all the cars trying to leave too.
And aren't those little pegs that say you can't go this direction?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Those are all over. We've passed through most of them to get to trying to get out.
Now it's like Mario Brothers.
Now he's trying to get out. So Mario we go Kart. Back and I find the same guy. Our guy was really the only guy working. That girl's still yelling at the Indian family. The other people have just left. There's no one else there. I'm like, how do I leave? He goes, no, you should just go right through the exit. I'm like, there's cones that block me. He goes, I think that guy went to the bathroom. The guy just left. The only guy that could let the car go had to pee or something. And he just leaves.
Nobody relieved him on his break in case somebody needed to exit.
He didn't tell anybody. He just left. And that's how it starts. So we finally get out. I'm like, do you need to check anything else? He goes, I need to see your ID. He's like, but I guess you're the same person from inside. So we're good. I was like, thank you. I was like, you're the same guy that gave me the car.
Let me see your ID.
You're the only one working. I was like, I asked him his name. I think it was Ray or Rye or something because I was going to give a positive thing because he's the only one working there. But then I forgot and now obviously didn't do it. Sorry, that guy. He did a great job. So we finally leave after like an hour and a half of trying to get a vehicle. And that's how the trip just starts down. That's day one. We speed all the way through all the crap we've done. The last basic leg of the trip, we're going to do Philadelphia. That gets canceled out because apparently you have to buy tickets for everything now. To see things that you used to just be able to walk up to.
No, I hate that. Because then a lot of people can't.
Yeah. And then given the heightened security that was all over, we were just like, Philadelphia is not where we're going to go.
Yeah, no.
Right now. So we stayed in Lancaster and they took the kids to a kid-based theme park that we did last year. It was phenomenal. It was the severe heat wave that had hit that day.
And no shade coverage.
Oh, God.
There's just black pavement.
Like you're just like dancing between trees. We walk in. There's already three rides closed because they're too hot. This is at 10 in the morning. So it's already like 95 degrees at 10 in the morning.
And you said it's a wet heat.
Oh, yeah. It's hot. The whole time you're just wet.
Were you just miserable? Because like I've been to Florida.
It's just gross. And this was like on all sides. Like I have photos when I would get up, leave the air condition and walk out and immediately just have, you know, that fog face on your glasses, which takes a lot to do. And it was like every time you'd go in or out of the house.
And it's worse for girls because there was probably no point putting makeup on. The hair was a mess. Hats, just hats and sunglasses.
We had hats that day because people were getting burnt left and right because it's just so damn hot. We're walking around. So my family's there too.
At this park.
Yeah. So we have like 10 people now wandering around the park.
Oh,
yeah. Going on whatever we can go on at first. Then we find out there's only 500 people in the whole park. Which is apparently super low for an amusement park.
Sounds like a lot of people. And when you say kid themed, are they all kids rides or did adults get to rides?
It's family friendly. So it's a lot smaller than adult rides. But like there's stuff that adults certainly can do.
Like a county fair that goes up. Is that kind of thing? Or no, bigger than that?
No, it's bigger than that. It kind of like Disneyland, like those kind of rides where it's, you know.
Just a smaller scale.
They're just smaller scale.
Yeah.
And most of that spinny crap, I can't do that stuff anymore. My brother loves that too. Yeah. So like they would go on him, like we were going to go to another park at one point and he couldn't go. I'm like, we're not going. Like I ain't going on these rides. These rides hurt me.
Just wondering if the rocks came out of his pocket when he sputtered.
Maybe that's what keeps him grounded. I don't know. Yeah, that was, so when they told us they're like, they're closing half the food stands because there's no one here to eat the food they have to cook.
500 people doesn't make a difference. I'll be damned.
500 people apparently is like nothing. Like zero people. Yeah.
To me, I'd be like, there's 500 people here. Everybody run to the next ride, get in line. Because 500 people seems like a lot of people.
No. It was like the parking lot had like 20 cars in it.
And so like 500 people came in 20 cars?
Something like that.
Like clown cars. That's amazing.
It was so crazy unbusy. We would go on rides that were open like 6 or 7 times in a row.
So it was great for the people there. Great for the people there. For the people wanting to make the money.
Yeah. That sucks for them. For the kids, like they would go on this log flume thing. And like after the fifth time, I was like, I'm done. And they're like, well, you want to go again? I'm like, I don't. I'd like to get out of this thing. I was like, they can go again. I'm done doing this loop.
Just stand there holding the bags.
And they do it for like another half an hour. And I'm just, and nonstop. Like, they'd just be like, can we go again? And they'd be like, okay. And then they'd go again. They don't have to get out. And I was like, this is.
And you're standing under a tree trying to keep cool.
Yeah. Well, they had, you know, they have beer there. So you can.
Oh, you are fine.
You can just grab a beer and then sit and watch your kids go nuts on these slides. And like. They have stuff for all the ages. So like everyone got to do things that was age appropriate and entertaining for them. So it was a good day, but I mean, exhausted because everyone drank water nonstop.
Right.
I think everyone peed like once. And I mean like water nonstop.
Because
like,
you're sweating it out.
You're just sweating it all out.
Yeah.
And then ironically at the end, we all used this one bathroom to leave. That bathroom was set at 70 degrees, Lori. Everyone walked in and came out, go, why did we not just hang out in this bathroom all day? This was the most enjoyable bathroom we've ever been in. It was air blowing across you, freezing cold, phenomenal.
Oh.
And then that was one of the last things. Then up there, there's this old chocolate factory that's been around for hundreds of years. Like, I think 1800s, 100 years. I'm going to make
this
that
up. This is in Lancaster.
Yeah. Okay. There's a small town next to it, Lidditz, but Lancaster for all purposes. And they had, like 5 years ago or so, shut down their factory there and converted it into a hotel. So we stay at this hotel, and it's fun because it's a chocolatey themed, and yeah, it's right across from a chocolate shop.
Who wouldn't love that?
Right. So that's when we came back. We had a whole suitcase that was just chocolate.
I was going to say, we all got chocolate on our desk, and that's where it's from. That's yeah, pretty cool.
And that chocolate's used throughout, like C's relies on them. Like, a lot of the big companies use their chocolate to build their chocolate.
Wow.
Which is really neat. And the factory used to be much more, everything used to be much more hands-on. You could see everything. That's changed. And the world's changed. You think it's changed
because the world has changed and people have changed. And
yeah, you need to do it faster and cheaper and hide it behind the doors. But it was such a nice day. It was still hot as could be. And then we found there was a distillery there. So around the corner. So we found that.
So kids, eat the chocolate. We're going next door.
Yeah. While we're walking to that, we found a historical area that talked about this whole town. And we had been going to this whole town for since we were babies, because this is the oldest commercial pretzel factory as well. Like, this town was a huge deal in the 1800s, and we've always went there. So that's, we take the kids there and they love this stuff, but we've never went to like some of these places. And when I'm doing the steps, and I'm that's where I was walking. So I'm seeing things differently than I've ever seen it. And this is like the town where John Sutter dies. So, like, California John Sutter is connected to Lidditz.
Wow.
And that's just, that's like a weird thing. So I walked around until I found his grave, just because, like, that's kind of just like these weird connections that you learn more about California by going out there.
Which is so crazy.
Right. And it's explained why he was doing what he's doing, where the gold rush came from, and that how he kind of went bankrupt through all of it despite discovering gold and came back here. And, like, all these things that are happening, and we're talking to the foundational people, whatever it is, for where it was at. And these are tiny little rinky dink places where it's like, how much does the cost to come in? Like, it's a donation. And you're like, oh, you guys don't understand, you need money. Like, this isn't. And I was like, okay, it's like $5. Then Erica's like, I paid 50. Is that enough? I was like, paid 50 for what? This self-guided tour of the house? And she's like, I don't know. They said they needed donations. I was like, they didn't say that. You, all right, we got, that's fine. So we did this, it was very neat. And it's very cool to hear some of the history. And of course, like, the kids get excited about ghosts. They're terrified of them.
But excited at the same time.
Excited at the same time.
That's how my grandson. And like,
we need this book that talks about it. This book's its own podcast, Lori. It's, we met the author. I have so many ideas for
him. Oh my God. So much
feedback on this book. I might have you have to read it first.
I was going to say, maybe we need to both read it. Obviously read it.
Oh, I read it the next day. It's like 80 stories, and each one is like a page and a half. And you're just like, wait, what? And next story. And you're just like,
oh, I'm so excited and intrigued.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And and I told Erica, I was like, I'm going to write this guy a letter. She's like, please don't. I was like, but it's feedback that I think is constructive. She goes, no one's going to find this constructive. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna give some ideas. This is this guy's fourth book, and I've got ideas.
I want to read the book, talk about the book, and hear the ideas.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
Oh my gosh, I can't stand it.
So it was pretty cool to do all that stuff. And then the distillery was distilling off of a grain that the University of Penn, I think was who it was, had effectively recrafted from 250 years ago. So, like, it's the original rye that America used to build alcohol, right? To build
grain,
the whole
alcohol.
So it's rye whiskey, but it's from a grain from 250 years ago. So it's something that hasn't been in existence, but came back off of however anybody does anything. And it wasn't particularly good.
I was going to say, how was it?
It wasn't particularly good, but it's necessary. One of those things, like, you have to go and try this thing because it's what made this whole area grow. Like, it's alcohol, but, you know, fuels the world. And it was one where my dad's like, this is gross. I'm like, yeah, we're going to get a bottle. He's like, but it's not good. I'm like, no, we need to support this kind of stuff. And that was pretty cool. And then we had to walk through a thunderstorm, which are great because you don't really get those.
Yeah. Not a lightning storm, but a thunderstorm.
Well, it was the thunder lightning. That part had calmed down. But like, we're used to that. Like out here, it's a much bigger deal, like rarity. But this is all the time there. It would get hot and it would clear the humidity. Like, it's just normal. It's nice to see thunder lightning. It's nice to see these things.
Because it cools it down for just a minute.
It cools down for like a minute. This was just a minute.
So like, it'll be sunny and hot, and then it'll storm, and then it'll go back to sunny and hot in the same day?
This was cloudy all day.
Okay.
And then rained and poured for a couple, an hour or two. Thunder lane, and then stopped, and then cleared up. And
which everything is really green.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So nice. Yeah, that part is just, it's beautiful. It's just air. The water's, it's everywhere. Like, you're just wet. Like, things can grow. You come back here, you're dead.
It's like a rainforest.
It's like a rainforest. Yeah. It had some very neat things that we got to see. Got to go see some Amish stuff, which kids like to do. But, you know.
There is an Amish, you know how they have kids have little cliques or phases that they go through. Mm-hmm. One's like a rocker, one's goth. Mm-hmm. Now there is an Amish phase.
Yeah, it's an interesting world because the things they kind of like avoid, maybe they're not wrong on everything.
I was
going to
say, you couldn't do it.
No, you can't do it, but you could see why somebody would want to do it.
100%.
And avoid this crap and just focus on family and focus on like
the simple things.
Just working, like watching horses plow, like inefficient, wholly inefficient.
Right.
But like, if you don't have to do a billion other things and your job is to plow and that's what you're doing and you work hard and you're satisfied, that's probably not a
bad thing.
Bad thing at the end of the day.
So my daughter and I were going to start this 35-day challenge, mm-hmm. Where we would get our steps in. We would hit the gym every day. Mm-hmm. We'd follow the food plan. So the things that we've been doing, but another add-on to it was we would unplug for an hour every night from television, phone, everything. Mm-hmm. So that started Monday a week ago. Well, that's when I fractured my ankle. Mm. But my granddaughter was also doing the challenge. So I was kind of out of that piece of it. But I thought that's a wonderful challenge to unplug because, sitting here, thank God my watch is dead and my phone's in the other room. Mm-hmm. But yours hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. And it's just constantly being picked at.
Yeah.
So the Amish, I kind of get. And it would be cool if, like, the kids are doing an Amish thing because I'm not sure if that just means the dress like the Amish or unplug.
Yeah.
But I think kids can certainly unplug.
They have their iPads when we travel for the plane.
That's a necessary.
That's it.
You have to.
Like, they don't get them around the house. They don't get them there. There, it's probably they have more likely chance to get them. But TV, they always have.
Yeah.
Like, it's even when you're trying to restrict one thing, you realize how kind of hypocritical it is because – one, I'm on my phone all the time. And then they're just on like the next shiny thing that's doing the same thing as their iPad or not.
But it does sound like you had so many adventures.
Yeah.
Educational and fun and were busy enough that they weren't just sitting around.
No, they weren't. They would watch TV at night. Yeah. They'd watch TV if we're waiting for something to happen. But like that was not the focus.
No, I love that.
No, that and it just if they were watching and somebody was there, I'd just go turn it off and be like, go talk to this person because you may never see them again because, you know, people get old. And that's
it is
just
crazy.
The reality of this world is like the world's getting a little crazier again and you just don't know what next week's going to bring.
No, it is. And you know that we all know I'm a little older than you. Mm-hmm. But while you were gone, Anne Burrell, the chef, like 6 months older than me, just, and my husband's employee, I don't even want to say girlfriend because they shouldn't be together. She actually physically harmed him, but she's 2 years younger than me and had two strokes. Mm-hmm. And just, it's like people, not just in my age group, but in general, like people are just here today and
then not.
And so I think it's amazing. Mm. And we should look at the world that way and spend as much time with the people that we care about or be present with the people that we care about.
Yeah. Which does mean put the damn phone down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's nothing else out of this podcast, put the phone down and go do something else.
My daughter and my son-in-law would come over and we'd barbecue and I'm playing with the kids. And I love to do that. They are my happy space in this world. Well, my granddaughter's getting, to be a preteen, so a little less happy, but still love her to death. But my daughter and my son-in-law would be sitting, like, doing this. Mm-hmm. And I just had it one day. I'm like, if you want to do that, go home.
Yeah.
Be involved.
Yeah.
because I'm not doing that. I'm not competing with your damn phone.
Yeah.
And so it's just something, I hate the phone. I would like to throw it in the pool at the end. 100%. I hate it.
I agree with 100%.
And sometimes when it bings, I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost feel like I have Tourette's when it bings. So it's just something that people should be aware of. Just because you can't do both. You're like half paying attention.
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy.
I do that all the time. I know.
Everyone said it is amazing.
Like, I'm doing two things. I'm sorry.
What you can retain, because I know you see all, hear all, but optic wise, it looks like you're very distracted. So, and that may come with having four kids or having to manage a mid-size office. I don't know.
I get in arguments with my wife all the time. She goes, "You're not paying attention." I'm like, "I'm absolutely paying attention. I'm also typing in this." I'm like, "I don't have to look at you to hear you." Like, that's, and then that doesn't go well with the conversation. But I've gotten accustomed to that. Like, here, like, there's 15 things getting shot at you at any time.
You have to micromanage.
And at
like
home,
that,
it's the same thing. There's always voices saying things that you have to hear them all and then decide out of that who's the most urgent scenario to deal with and then go to the next issue, which is like, you know, half the time somebody's crying and you're like, is it a real cry or is it, I need, is it like,
you're always
you're
on high alert.
Cry.
Yeah. Vance and I had a similar, I feel like I'm the Peanuts teacher, if you know what that
is.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And so I told him last night, I'm like, the dogs are on you. I'm going to bed. I'm dragging this boot around is exhausting me. I'm going to bed. And this is the medication that the dogs need. And he gives me the, okay, got it. I'll be in a little while. I wake up a couple hours later to get a cup of water. And he's like, I didn't want to wake you, but what meds?
I can see him saying
it
too.
To hear me.
Yeah.
Love this guy to death, but he's got so much in his brain. And that's, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt with that. So now I find myself, because one of my pet peeves is repeating myself or not being heard.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cannot stand repeating myself.
That's fair.
If I say something, there's a reason
there's
why.
There's a reason, 100%.
And so you need to hear me.
Yep. We'll
continue this later. So now I'm finding myself speaking like, you know, we speak different languages. So I'm like, the pills are on the counter. It's ridiculous at my house. So we were watching a show last night where they were having the same issue. And the therapist said physical contact. You know, a light touch when you're having this fight. So she's putting her hand on this guy's head and he's like, what are you doing? And she's counting to 1, 2 to try and think about what she says. And I start dying. I tell Vance, I go, that will be us in the kitchen. I will be putting my hand on your head, counting to 2 before I throw a potato at you or slap you silly, but you need to hear me.
And that's funny.
I just looked at the time. Steve has an appointment. I've got an appointment. And while we could probably go on,
we can definitely go
more,
on.
And I so enjoy our time together when we podcast, we should probably call it a day. Come back next week, whether we've read the book and we talk about that book or continue on about the difference between
talk about that
men
book.
And women in relationships and whether I've harmed Vance by potato in the next week or not.
At least it can be turned into like a mashed potato.
100%. And he grew up in Idaho, loves potatoes.
So this
he might
is a
have
win.
A couple of horror dogs. I mean, he better learn to juggle.
He needs to catch them and boil them. That's,
that's
it.
Right. All right. Eats them raw with salt.
That is the grossest thing ever.
Oh, my gosh. Weird.
They have apples there, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe.